All right, well, let's just move on into the second half of the show here. After we discuss in the first part how to at me, so in case you missed that, it's Grey A. Mark, GREYAMARK, at. Say the at first part, don't you?
Yeah.
At Grey A. Mark. Right, so let me get this right. And on Facebook, players, I'm more of a Facebook, MySpace, Black Planet kind of guy. You know, when I get to something, you can still reach me on Yahoo, those type of things. Is AOL still around? Do they still exist?
No, I don't think so.
I can tell you this. I was one of the last people on the planet with Instant Messenger. And I remember at one point I had BlackBerry Messenger. I still have a BlackBerry. I'm very few people with BlackBerry. But I remember at one point I had 15, 20 people on my BlackBerry Messenger. And just one by one by one. And then I went down to three. And dude switched over to iPhone. Serious shit. And I was like, just me and you, bro. He was like, bad news, buddy. Bad news. You need two. One went to an iPhone and one went to one of the big ass phones.
Android,
huge miniature laptop thing. So I'm now the I can give out my, I don't even remember it, but I would give out my BlackBerry Messenger if somebody wants a BlackBerry. BBM me. BBM, that's the term. BBM me. That used to be to my friends, man, y'all know who you are who left me out there on BBM. We used to have some good BBM conversations. I still have my BBM. But before you guys get carried away, I have an iPhone 2, so stop. And it is literally the iPhone 2. So, nah, it's not the iPhone 2. I have the iPhone as well. It's a very new 4C, which is there in case you don't know. They're on like the 6F now or whatever. But I still have a 4C, which works fabulous. Anyway, let's get into. I don't want to talk as much about the Super Bowl prediction wise and all that stuff because Super Bowl was seriously. Appears to be like a year away. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna make predictions about the Pro Bowl. No, I'm joking. We're not gonna make predictions about the Pro Bowl. That's what do you in terms of All Star games? What do you think they even should do with the Pro Bowl? Still have it? Not have it? Do you think anybody cares? Is it a waste of time?
I don't think I've watched the Pro Bowl since like middle school, literally.
But okay, yeah, that's good. I'm glad you said that because I remember as a kid I watched it, and it used to be on. I don't know if you remember. It used to be on ESPN, and I didn't have cable. So, like, I would have my friends from school, they would tape it for me on their VCR. A lot of you people out there probably have no idea what the hell a VCR is. But they would tape it, bring the tape, you know how you get the tape, put a little tape over the corner on your blank tape so that you can record over it, bring me the tape, and I would watch the Pro Bowl, not tape, like, literally, that's the definition of tape. Like, I see it, you know, it happened on Sunday, I get the tape on Monday, and I watch it on Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, maybe even have to wait another week, but it was like, to me, it was the coolest. I grew up an Eagles fan. I thought it was so cool to see Reggie White play one last time for the season, you know, because normally the Eagles would be out either not in the playoffs or the first game of the playoffs. And by the time the Pro Bowl came around, it was like one last time to get to see them play before the season was over. So as a kid, so like you said, you haven't watched it since middle school, and I would probably piggyback and say I'm somewhere in that same boat. So what about that from a kid standpoint in terms of just selling the game that it is like a kid event to watch?
I don't know if you could do anything as far as moving it to somewhere during the season. It seems to work for every other sports organization, NHL and MLB, NBA.
The injury risk.
Yeah, that's true.
The injury risk is so different in football my guess is that somebody like Belichick and those guys, and as a matter of fact, anyone that's coached, those dudes are all, you know, military angle grades. Like, I mean, for you to be playing a game in week 8, that doesn't count, you know, so you can go out there and roll your ankle in Hawaii. I don't got that going over well. Something tells me every coach would have an ailment that their player, Brady's not going to be able to make it. The old shoulder's acting up, but we do appreciate the week off. He will be participating in that. In the week off, you know, but the Pro Bowl, I don't know if it was as much as when I don't know if it is. I wonder if it is a worse product or worse managed and marketed now, or is it just that we were younger and more interested in it? Because now it does seem like a complete joke. Like, I would love to see what the ratings are for it, because I don't even know the purpose it serves.
Yeah.
I wonder if kids nowadays do, because like you said, you watched it as a kid, I watched it as a kid, and I'm sure I know lots of kids that didn't watch it, and it also used to be like the idea of seeing Brett Favre throw a pass to Randy Moss, like that was cool, you know what I mean? Watching Randall Cunningham throw the ball to Jerry Rice. Mm-hmm. That was cool. Mm-hmm. You know, watching Emmitt Smith and you know, insert name here on the same team. Even though back then Emmitt Smith had his entire line in the program. And his quarterback and his fullback and his receiver.
So, and his tight end and his wide receivers.
Right. So I mean that's how stacked that team was. He literally, the Pro Bowl offensive line would be three of the five Cowboys. You know what I mean? Like I said, and Moose was the fullback. And like you said, Novacek was the tight end.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that was pretty much home to them. But, yeah. So I digress. Getting back to what we're going to talk about. Which one I want to start with? Let's start with the AFC. Okay. I want to touch on something real quick. Sometimes people, there's a type of fan that I want to tell you about that it's called ulterior motive fan. They make arguments not based on that argument, but it's based off of another argument. So in order for point A to make sense, that's why they make point B. Let me clarify that for you. I remember back in the day, people used to say, Andrew Bynum is a really good center. He's going to be one of the best centers. He's amazing. He's great. You know, the people who said that, those are the people who thought, those were LeBron fans or people who hated Kobe. And in order for their Kobe's overrated argument to make sense, they had to prove that Andrew Bynum was really good. That Smush Parker is not as bad as people think he is. Luke Walton is a quality player. You would hear arguments like that, and you'd be like, where the hell did this guy get that? Who said that Luke Walton was really good? I had a friend who would swear up and down to me that the only thing holding back Andrew Bynum was Kobe. And they would just name all these players that they're like, they're really good. And you'd say, it's really random. Why is this guy the biggest Luke Walton fan? You know, and that's what it was, because in order to prove that Kobe wasn't as good, you had to prove that the players around them were good to support your argument. And, now I bring that point up to say, this man, Andrew Luck, he is unreal. Unreal. And then you'll just hear these random fans say, let me get my mic. They'll say, doesn't matter, you're not supposed to talk anymore. You know, Andrew, I don't see what's so great about him. What? Yeah, I don't know what all the hype is. What? This dude has been in the league 3 years, won 11 games all 3 years. The team that he took over had 2 wins the year before. He's not only made it to the playoffs every year, he's won a playoff game. Yeah, just, you know, I was listening to Skip. You know, he's just, I don't see it. What the hell are you talking about? Then, as the conversation goes on, and start playing back things in my head, and I remember, now I remember, Skip was the one who said, put me on record, I will take RG3 over Andrew Luck. So in order to support his argument that he made 3 years ago, and he was still rocking with RG3 up until earlier this year, and saying, in order to make his argument that RG3 should have been drafted to get a look, he has to say dumb things, like, I don't see what people are saying, you know what I mean? 39 touchdowns, 5,000 yards passed. If you're into that sort of thing, like if you like winning, I guess he's okay. If you like touchdown passes, you know that guy's okay. And let me just tell you something. The other day, I'm sitting in a room full of about 15 or 20 guys, all sports fans who I respect, avid fantasy football players. Nothing but respect for these guys. I tell you, just for an exercise, I don't tell anybody where I'm going with this. I say, man, hey guys, tell me you know, I'm working on something. Give me your top 10 receivers. Everybody, same names. Megatron, Denarius Thomas, Jordy Nelson, Odell Beckham, Brandon Marshall,
Dez Bryant,
Antonio Brown, AJ Green, the other Chicago receiver. Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson. I asked for the top 10. I got about 15 different names, but I'd say everybody had the same top 8. Okay? 15 different names, maybe not even 15, but a consensus top 10. Okay? I feel like I'm forgetting somebody, an obvious name that I don't want to do. Like I said, I did say Antonio Brown. There has to be another big name in there. Julio Jones, probably top 5. Okay, names like that. I wanted to prove a point. Not one person said T.Y. Hilton. Not one. Okay, so I said before we get into the point, here's another consensus. Who's the worst starting running back in the entire NFL? And maybe in NFL history. And it didn't take long before everybody said, the running back, I forgot his name now. The team told that they benched the guy. Okay, Trent Richardson.
Trent Richardson.
Okay. This is the guy who was drafted third overall by one team. He was so bad, they tried to get rid of him, and another team gave up a first round pick for this guy. Unreal. This dude averages like a yard a game, not a carry a game. Dude is horrible, okay? Like, people who don't play football have more rushing yards than him. Like, that's how bad this dude is, okay? So, now, I'm not saying this to take a knock or take a shot on T.Y. Hilton. Because when I threw his name, T.Y. Hilton is good. T.Y. Hilton is a third round draft pick out of a very small school in Florida. What is it? It's not FAU. I think he might have went to FIU. You can look it up. That's what you're here for. Third round pick out of a small school in Florida. And again, this is not to take anything away from T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton is a good receiver. He's not one of the top 10 receivers in football. He's probably about 15, maybe. He's in that 15 to 20 range. Very good receiver, very fast. Trent Richardson.
Florida International.
So that would be FIU. What round? Third round, right?
Yes.
Third round. Colts defense, mediocre at best. I'd say mediocre at best. Like I said, running game, terrible. Terrible is they're horrible. And the Colts receivers, this is a fact, this isn't my opinion, the Colts receivers lead the NFL in drops. And anybody who's ever watched Colts games, they drop the ball like there's no tomorrow. They just drop it. They led the entire NFL in drop passes this year. So I give you no running game, not an elite receiver, not an elite tight end, and a mediocre defense, and you give me 11 wins? You give me 11 wins with it? How do you hate on that? What is there to hate about that? Can you tell me what, so when somebody says, sits there with a straight face and says, man, I don't see what's so great about him. And I'm on these other groups, I'm in this Facebook group, and with All Talk Sports, and the only people who have a problem with Andrew Luck are RG3 fans, which to me, the RG3 Andrew Luck debate is so far over that you forget that it even existed, that you're like, what? Like, you think that somewhere right now, back in the day, let's not forget that there was debate whether it was Ryan Leaf or Peyton Manning. Like, that was a debate. It happened. I have the Sports Illustrated covers. It was a debate. And there were no shortage of people who thought Ryan Leaf was going to be a better quarterback. Do you think those people who thought that 20 years later, now they're sitting out saying, let's see what's so great about Peyton Manning. Ryan Leaf could, she's slightly better than him. I mean, at what point do you just admit that you lost that argument? And move on. You know what I mean? Just move on. RG3 people, the RG3 Andrew Luck comparison, boat, all of that stuff, done. Now, the RG3, yes, he's been injured. Let me tell you this. I said going into it, I don't care, and I told you this personally, and I've said to everybody, I said RG3, who coming out of college, nobody's stock was higher. Kid was bright. Kid was a good person. Kid was athletic. He had the arm. He had the legs. He had the family with the military background. He was humble. He was everything. Okay? He was a can't-miss kid. Clear-cut number two behind Andrew Luck, and many people had him number one. I said this would be the test and would prove if the can't-miss kid misses here, I want you to realize that organization is cursed/slashed. A dumpster fire. If he can't succeed here, that's your proof. Because the thing is, I don't even think if Andrew Luck had came here, he would be. The situation is terrible. The situation here is terrible. Okay? It just is. And when he came here, that one of the things about him was how down to earth he is. 3 years later, what's the biggest thing about him? He can't get along with the rest of the guys. He's an egotistical maniac. Mm-hmm. Huh? What the hell? That when he got here, it was, he's so well-rounded, the running is the icing on the cake, he's actually a pocket passer. 3 years later, the guy can't read defenses, can't go through his progressions, he's so easy to get along with, he's so mature, he's wise behind his ears. 3 years later, you can't find a coach to get along with the guy, he ran out of Super Bowl coach, the new coach doesn't like him, you know what I mean? Everything 3 years is completely different than what it was 3 years ago. And I put that, I don't even put that on RG3 because it happened to everybody who's come here before him, and it's going to happen to the next guy too. It doesn't even matter who the next guy is. RG3's track record is what his is, but the Washington Redskins track record, excuse me, is what it is. That being said, I say that to say, to sit there and watch Skip and a handful of other people randomly say, that there's a problem with Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck is so good, it's not even funny. Like, he is the real deal. Like, the real deal. I mean, we don't have the access to have the stats and pull it up and say he's the first person to do this since then. But let me tell you, I will take his 3 years and put it up against any, his 3 years top to bottom versus anybody's first 3 years. And with the exception of maybe Dan Marino, I don't think you're going to find a better resume. You might see a guy like a Russell Wilson or a Roethlisberger or Brady who was put into a much better situation, and they were on a Super Bowl team. But in terms of guy taking over a team that won 2 wins and leading them to 33 wins in a 3 year span, playoff victories with essentially the same roster. That's the same roster that won 2 games. He's winning with T.Y. Hilton, Reggie Wayne, who is, he's not even on his last leg, okay? Trent Richardson, the worst running back in football, and a bunch of other receivers who can't catch, and a defense that, like I said, I would call it mediocre. That, you know how many people out there have, you look at it, he's got T.Y. Hilton as the best receiver. Jay Cutler's got Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffries, Matt Forte, and Marcellus Bennett as his tight end.
Can't win 8 games.
And he can't do anything. You know, and just insert name here with just, you know, that guys who have tons of talent around them and they're doing less. You cannot find me a guy who has less. The only person who I look at and say they have the same sort of deficiency around them is Andrew Luck, who was blessed with a top 5 running back and the best defense in football. Okay? His receiving core, I think, is terrible. And it's tight, you know, his, all of that, I don't think he has much offensive weapons, but, in terms of, so you want to compare.
You mean Russell Wilson? Cause you said Andrew Luck.
Yes, I'm sorry, Russell Wilson. Okay. Russell Wilson. That's only thing I compare him to. Russell Wilson is in the same situation in terms of receivers, why his receiving corps. Whereas though, I think T.Y. Hilton is better than any receiver on the Seahawks. But outside of that, I'll take Marshawn Lynch and that offensive line over the one receiver that he has, and then that defense. So, when people, you know me, and my thing is always make sure in sports that we're comparing apples to apples, not apples to oranges. So, when you want to tell two quarterbacks this week, Russell Wilson is coming out this weekend as a winner. He's a winner. Scott just finds a way to win. Something about this guy, man. Russell, you can take the sun off of Will, call him Will, because he just wills the team. And then Luck, maybe something about him when the big lights come on, you know, he's just, I don't know, man. It just doesn't happen. If you're comparing apples to oranges, let's just review the facts here. Russell Wilson played like some complete trash for 90% of that game. He threw 4 interceptions, had a QB rating of 0, and he looked up and was still in the game. Andrew Luck played better than Russell Wilson. Okay, he looked up, it was down 100. If Andrew Luck had strung together 14 points in the last 2 minutes of the Colts game against the Patriots, would we be saying, that guy's a winner, man. That guy is a winner. Last 2 minutes of the game, man, he went down there, took him down, they got the onside, got a field goal, that guy's a winner. You know what they'd be saying? He lost 47-24. That's what they'd be saying. Alright, like, it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. Russell Wilson, here's what's the same. Russell Wilson and Andrew Luck both played terrible. 2 minutes left in the game, Russell Wilson's team was still in the game. Because his defense was did enough to stop the great Aaron Rodgers. He played before Andrew Luck could pick his head up. They were down. They don't have the same. And the biggest argument to me about this one, the biggest guy who I say is the loser in this argument and has been for years, has been Tony Romo. When people just, oh, this guy is just a loser, man. Saw that game the other day, he lost 38-42. needs to take lessons from Russell Williams. The guy won 14-10, man. 14-10. 14-10. But a guy who put 38 points on the board is a loser. Come on, man. Make sure you're comparing apples to apples. It's like certain quarterbacks are the things that Tony Romo is asked to do is so much more than some of these other quarterbacks who are considered winners. You know, and you would love to say, and you know, some of these conservative quarterbacks who like Alex Smith, for example. That guy just wins, man. Team manager wins. Hell, let you go into a game and you need 35 points to win and Alex Smith is the quarterback. This dude went an entire season without throwing a touchdown to a receiver. That is unheard of. Unheard of. You can throw a touchdown to a receiver for an entire year. Like, that's mind-boggling. But his perception, he's a game manager, man. You know, the guy wins, man. God wins. Make sure you, the Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson played just as bad this weekend as Andrew Luck did. Just as bad. Only difference is that his team wasn't down 50 when he pulled his head out of his ass and decided to start playing. And a lot of quarterbacks are been given that opportunity. Tim Tebow, when he was winning, it was, man, you know, Tim Tebow was winning completing four passes. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to be kidding me. This dude went three quarters without completing a pass and was only down 7-0. Just because he pulls one pass, a 5-yard pass, and the receiver runs for 9 yards, he's a winner? But another guy is a loser? That makes no sense. You know, you hear what I'm saying?
Like,
that's not apples to apples. One guy scoring 35 points in a loss, and another guy scoring 7 points because he scored 7 points in a 2-minute drill. He scored 2 minutes. The team needed him to score. Didn't even score the entire game. You think the coach told him the previous 58 minutes? And we don't even need them points. Hey, coach, I was thinking about scoring. We don't even need it, man. Save it to the last 2 minutes of the game. That's what we need. Every single time they send a guy out there, they're looking for points. I don't look at it the same way as everybody else when they say, man, he scored at the end of the game, man. I look at it that they asked him to do something 17 times, and on the 18th time, he did it. They asked him to go out there and put points on the board. 17 times he went out there, and on the 18th time, he put points on the board. I don't get that, you know? And then on the flip side of that, a guy like Tony Romo, this guy will be in a shootout, throw 45 attempts, 50 attempts, and on the 50th attempt, it's an interception, and it happens to be in the last play of the game, and it's interception. I'm like, man, I told you he choked. No, he threw 50 passes, and the 50th one was intercepted. You know, like, that's not the same thing as choking. That's the inevitable happen. That's what that is. When I'm watching that Ravens game versus the Patriots, and I see Joe Flacco and Brady going back and forth, I said, Flacco's got 4 touchdowns, and he's playing an exceptional game. He's not going to keep this up. Like, what's he going to go for 5? He's going to throw for 6? He's going toe-to-toe with Tom Brady right now, and he's going to lose. So I text my friend who's a avid Ravens fan and loves telling me how much Romo stinks and chokes all the time. So when Flacco threw that touchdown, I said, Flacco choked. Man, what? You can't blame this game on Flacco. Flacco had 4 touchdowns, and he had all these great games. Huh. It's odd because when Romo threw for 500 yards and 4 touchdowns and 1 interception, it was he choked. He said, oh, you know what? I see your point. No, you can't blame that game on Flacco. He played a great game, and he threw the ball almost 50 times. And then the inevitable happened. He threw an interception. If you keep throwing the ball, it's going to happen eventually. You know what I mean? If you send Ray Allen to the line 100 times, and he makes 97 in a row, and he misses the 98th one at the end of the game, I don't see that as choking. I see that shot 98% from the free throw line. You know what I mean? Like, that's how averages work. You don't go, if you keep going forever, you're eventually going to miss one. And if you keep passing, if you throw the ball 50 times, you're bound to get an interception. People don't throw the ball 50 times in a game and not get an interception. And if you went all 3 quarters without an interception, just the law of averages tell you, an interception is coming. It just is. How many times do you watch a game and they say, this guy hasn't fumbled in 992 carries?
Next play!
Like, the dude, and it's not because the law of averages, he's not going to carry the ball a million times without fumbling the ball. It's going to happen. That's, you know, so just make sure, I just want to get that out of the way and touch on that. Andrew Luck put me down on the books of saying, when it is all said and done, Andrew Luck will be the best quarterback who ever played the game. And if not, no more than he will be in that discussion. I think it'll always be a discussion. So I let me take that back. Nobody will ever be bar none the best quarterback. But his name will be in that hat. His name will be in that discussion. The dude is amazing. That is simply amazing. Russell Wilson played terrible, and I think that shows you there's certain quarterbacks you say, this guy can play terrible and his team can win. Peyton Manning cannot play terrible and his team win. That's never been the case. When if he plays terrible, they lose. He's so much in the offense, and he plays terrible, they lose. Roethlisberger, we've seen Roethlisberger play terrible and his team win. He played terrible in the Super Bowl. It's the lowest quarterback rating ever by winning a quarterback in a Super Bowl. We've seen a lot of quarterbacks play bad and still win. Andrew Luck, that's not an option he has. You know, so it's not fair to say, hey man, this guy isn't doing, you know, this, his team lost, blah, blah, blah. That's just baloney. That being said, the Colts should have lost last week. I think if the Colts played a healthy Peyton Manning, they lose last week. They overachieved. Let's call it what it was. They overachieved. They had no business being there. I was asked going before the Pats game, expect the Pats to beat the brakes off them because they don't belong there. They overachieved. And every once in a while, you think about it, you're watching it happens every year in the tournament, and, you know, some Cinderella knocks off this team, then they knock off another team, and then you run into, like, a North Carolina or Kentucky or Duke in the Final Four, and just like, all right, man. It was like 50, like, because they don't belong there. You know, they overachieved. They knocked off a team, and then maybe knocked off another team. Remember that year it was a George Mason went to the Final Four. Got destroyed. And it happens because you don't belong there. It doesn't mean, oh, they're terrible. They shouldn't have been there. They overachieved. They're further than they should have been. Hats off to them. The Colts were further than they should have been. The Patriots are so much better of a team than the Colts. It's not even funny. If you line up, if you take this to the playground, and you strip the teams, you take a captain, Andrew Luck, and you take a captain to Tom Brady, you say pick teams, and everybody's dispersed. The top 20 picks, 15 of them would be Patriots players. that's just a fact. In the top 20 picks, you might get T.Y. Hilton, Vontae Davis, and Vinatieri. You know what I'm saying? Like, who would be gone? The rest is going to be Gronkowski's and Darrell Revis's and just Patriot player after Patriot player, Edelman, Amendola, just LeGarrette. They have two better. LeGarrette Blunt and the other guy. Jones Craig would probably be the best running back on the Colts. LeGarrette Blunt certainly would be the best player on the Colts. So, you know, all that to say, they overachieved. They lost. They should have lost. The Green Bay thing, the whole concept in sports of getting up on a team and then playing not to lose is foreign to me. I don't get it. It's annoying as a fan. Watch it. It happens in basketball all the time that you see teams more concerned about running time off the clock than they are about making baskets. Well, make sure we don't shoot until there's 5 seconds left on the shot clock. Like, or you could just score a basket like what you've been doing for. If you've been dominating and imposing your will on a team, why start looking at the finish line? Why not just keep beating them? You know, and it's, you start seeing the little things they're doing and, you know, start running the play clock down. And come on, guys, just play. And they played not to lose, and then they lost. They lost. I don't know. The question is always, did the Seahawks win or did the Packers, lose? And it's like, it's a healthy dose of both. But I feel like it was more of the Packers. I feel like the Seahawks gave the Packers every opportunity to finish them off, and they didn't. And if you don't finish the team off and they come back and beat you, you have nobody to blame but yourself. I feel like Seahawks can gladly say, yo, we won this game, because they did what it took to come back and win. But the Packers have nobody to blame but themselves. They should have put that game away on, I mean, you can point to no less than 5 or 6 plays, whether it was the interception, was the onside kick, the 2-point. I mean, there's so many plays you can say, if they had just done one of those 5 things, this game wouldn't happen. And they didn't do anything. Nobody to blame but themselves. Going way over time. So we'll get into, we still got so much time to talk about the Super Bowl and these two teams. I feel like you can't say enough about, there's so much hating about the Patriots and what is Spygate and now this foolishness about inflated balls. Let me tell you something, you lose by that many points, inflated balls, at least you're right. Alright, like, that's terrible. That's terrible. But, not enough can be said about Belichick, and we're in a sport that is based on parity, that every single year for the past decade, if not more, the Patriots at the end of the season, when they say, Super Bowl's done, who are you picking next year for the Super Bowl? Just as a, I'm going to say the Patriots. Yeah. And you could pick that every single year. Next year, if they lose today, and they lose this Super Bowl, and you ask, who's your favorite for next year's Super Bowl? I'll take the Patriots. In a sport with parity, they have been that good for that long. And it is amazing what he has done, there. And never really been a fan, especially the little smirk comments and stuff like that. But boy, it's hard not to respect that man. And, Spygate, footballs, players, call it what you want. That's 10, 15 years of winning. That's amazing. And they always get the idiot who says, they haven't won a Super Bowl in, the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. They haven't won a Super Bowl in like 12 years though. What have they done? Yeah, I know Brady's got 3 Super Bowls, but he hasn't won any in a while. There's a lot of people who haven't won any in a while. When's the last thing you saw Drew Brees do? He looked terrible. Matthew Stafford, he hasn't won any in a while either. Jay Cutler hasn't won any Super Bowls in a while either. NFL is full of people who haven't won any Super Bowls in a while. As in, like, ever. You know what I mean? So, that's crazy. We'll get into so much more. Look forward to that next week. I guess we'll try and record another show next week, probably at the same time, and then get one more in before the Super Bowl. Probably come back next week with, maybe we'll find a guest to join me. Maybe we won't. We'll see. Again, make sure you guys check out the podcast. Don't have the information for you now. Next time I'll have more information for exactly where you can find the podcast. But as of right now, glad you found it on the Players Voice website. Make sure you check that out. And you know what? Long overdue. I will do some writing, and I'll have another article up there for you guys next week as well too. So next Monday, make sure you listen out for the show. I'll have another article up there for you. And super excited for the new year to start and work on this podcast, grow it, do it together. All the supporters, you guys have been awesome over the years, and I look forward to continuing to grow with you as a fan base and as a show. And it's not just my show, it's your show. It's now A1 show. It's all of our show. And whatever we can do to make it better, let's do it. You got the email, you got the contact. Let's do this thing together. Everybody have a good and safe week, and I'll see you next week.